can we deny him his truth? Jesus said to the disciples, go up in the upper room, wait until you be endued with power from on high. Don't go out and be a witness until you have the witness. We want to turn the world upside down. Well, I don't know if we're doing that, but I know the Bible says that you can, that the disciples in their day did. It's interesting that they thought that Jesus was coming soon, some 2,000 years ago. It's the same word that he gives to us. He's coming soon. What's happened in those 2,000 years? I believe Jesus expected the body to believe him. He expected his people to trust him and take his word and share it through the witness, the undeniable. Holy Ghost, the one that no one can deny. He didn't say go by yourself. He didn't say, hey, you, John, you convince me. You convince me that I'm true and real. And immediately, that thinks of, well, dog, if they don't believe it, I'm a failure. But he didn't say that. He said, take the witness. Take the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you to all truth. He's going to let you know. He's going to let them know who he is. We've ignored the spiritual realm, I think, for too long. And the devil's been wreaking havoc on our lives, on our children's lives, on the lives of our friends and loved ones, on the lives of our community, on our cities, our states, our governments, our countries. He's been wreaking havoc because we've ignored the spiritual realm. That the Holy Spirit knows about. That he wants us to engage in it because he's left us with that authority, according to Luke 10:19. Oh my God, brothers and sisters, would it be, can you see yourself being the triumphant one that darkness has no hold over whatsoever? You are the one standing in the gap between heaven and hell for some folks because you are praying and crying out on their behalf by the Spirit of God, holding them to the place where the light can come and shine in them, bring them unto Christ. I know. I hear you, Lord. It's an awesome responsibility that he's left us. And he doesn't bring any condemnation on us when we don't do it. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to live a flourish, a nurturing, an abundant life. He says it. He wants for that for you. You and now your household. He doesn't want you to be suffering, down and cast out, and lacking. Not having anything and not knowing what to do. He's left everything to us. And all we have to do, what do we have to do? Come on, what's our thing that he tells us to do? Ask. So if we don't ask, then we don't get it. Now we've been asking. We've been asking some stuff. That is true. No doubt that we've been asking some stuff. Look at you all here, all dressed and beautiful, healthy people. So we've been asking some things. But I think when God wants us to just turn our focus just a little bit. Father, what do you want to do with this life that you've turned around? That you placed such a gift to? You've given such vitality. You've given such purpose. What do you want to do with this life? I know that a lot of us think that we're nothing and nobody. And now I can't do anything. I can't teach the word like the pastor. I can't do all that studying and all that stuff. And I don't know about the word. I want you to know. Here's a testimony for you. When I first got saved, I told God, I said, there's too much. It's too too much in here. I'll never be able to learn it all. It's just too much. I felt very inadequate. I felt very small in the eyes of God. You know, he took that little bit and he said, well, I'm just going to grow you into what I want you to be. You just take your time, come to me every day, speak the word, seek the word. You just keep coming. Don't stop coming. Don't stop praying. And when the revelation comes, step on it. Now, I'm not saying I didn't make some mistakes and go off this direction or go off in that direction and do some crazy stuff. We all do. That's what the word is about today. We've been teaching and talking about us growing. I've been trying to speak to it like the Lord has told me. And I got into this teaching because I was seeking the purpose of God. You know, there's a place God says, well, I'll answer all your prayers, right? I'll answer any prayer, matter of fact, as long as it's according to my will. But how do you get all your prayers answered according to the will of God, right? You say, because I'll pray for a prayer that ain't coming to pass. Good day. Forget that. All the ones that's going to come to pass. What do I need to do to get to the place where I'm praying in the will of God? And he said, well, you need to know what my purpose is. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Only God's purpose is the one that matters for the whole universe. So we're not alone. And I know we want some of this stuff over here. Oh, God, do this for me. God, fix this. Blah, blah, blah. God's like, if it falls in the will, if it falls in the purpose, my purpose, for you, then you're going to have that, what you say. But we got to understand, this thing is God's thing. This is God's purpose. Oh, gosh. So what did I have to do? I had to lay some of my desires and things that I thought I needed. I laid those aside because I realized that they may be for another time, but they weren't for that this time. You understand what I'm saying? And I began to search God's heart for his purpose. And then I realized this simple thing. He wants us to grow. Don't stay where you are. Don't just stay. He said, sometimes I know in us is everything that we need, but we still need to grow. He talks about it. If we didn't need to grow, if God put every solitude thing, everything that we absolutely needed, and we didn't need to have the life that he's given us, the growth that he wants us to have, he would have said something. He would have said, you don't need to grow. You got it up. Go forth. Right? But he didn't say that. Now, in some ways, we do have everything that we need from God because he's planted the Spirit of God in us as a seed planted in the earth that it may be watered by the word, that it can then come forth and blossom into whatever that beautiful flower or tree or fruit or plant or whatever that thing is that he wants. Creature in Christ. He is the one that's doing that. We got to hook up on his side. Amen? Amen? He said, what man has left houses and lands and families and finances and all kinds of stuff for me who I have not given back a hundredfold if he's truly left that for me? So in our future is all of the stuff that we've been clamoring for right now. As long as we continue in him. That's where the good stuff is. Now, there's some weird stuff. Weird because we haven't majored in the spirit realm, or the spirit place where God dwells. know Jesus is the Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit. We know He came, He died, rose again, went back to heaven. We know that the kingdom of God is a spiritual place. We have not caught and grasped the hold of that we are the Spirit. We have a soul. Spirit, mind, spirit, soul, and emotions. Mind, will, and emotions. And we live in a body. A body designed by God. A body that was created to hold the Spirit. His Spirit. If you want to put it this way, His glory. Our body was created to our body was created. It was then what? Corrupted by the enemy, sin entered, and the flesh, which has no mind, will, or emotions of its own, only what we give it, we think it does, but the flesh has none of it. And so the sin was able to force it to in this way or force it to that way. And when God came and Jesus came, released us from the sin that traps us by the flesh. We no longer have to rely on this. He wanted to shift our perspective from relying on passions and senses to relying on the Spirit of the heart within us. He wanted us to stop all that stuff. Fasting was just intuitive so that we would not have to rely on food and think that we're going to die. We didn't get it. That's one purpose. Because He didn't want us to be ruled by our passions at all. And whatever the heck you want to think. Think whatever you want to think. He said, you need to have my mind. Stop thinking whatever you want to think. Think what God wants you to think. Keep God's mind for your life. Don't just, oh, I want to think this because this is, that's who I am. My mama did this, my daddy did that. And so this is what comes out. I read this in so-and-so's book. I read this in so-and-so's book. I heard this on this so-and-so news program and blah, 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 and podcasts and TikToks and Instagrams. The mind of Christ. Let it be the one ringing loudly. Yeah. You don't know something? Well, I don't know what they say is true. Ask God. Simple. Okay? I don't know what's true. The problem is, you don't want God to tell you it ain't true. Because you want to hold on to whatever it is. It sounds good. I want to hold on to that. That sounds great. It goes right along with me. God's like, I'm creating new creatures in Christ. I want you to think like me. I don't want you to think like nobody else. I want you to think like me. God wants us to think like Him. And we can only think like Him if we ask Him, God, what are you thinking? What is this really how it goes? Is this really the truth? He woke me up early this morning, and I have some characteristics that we've been talking about growing grace. And we know that we're fit for growing. We've come through the newborn. And what we've been doing is just sharing what the Word of God has given us about actions and behaviors of those levels of our growth. The newborn stage is how newborns behave. And there are positives and negatives to that. In the child stage, which is where we are, there are positive and negative things that God has taught us. But we're concentrating so much, sometimes, on the positive because we want those things in our life. We want that all of us in here have been operating in the behaviors of children. We all know that as a child, we're all children of God. We all know that when you have children, those children, whether they are Two, they're always your child. All right? So by identity, we know that we're children. But what we're talking about here in this teaching is growing in the behaviors of those growth levels. Why? Because that'll let us know where we are. Now, we want to advance onward because we're becoming what God wants us to be. So we want to move past the child stage into the young adult stage. And there are certain things that Paul talks about that young men and women do. There are certain things that there are actions that are attached to them. And I'm afraid to say that as a church, universally, we need some young adult men and women to stand out and come out, to be grown into. Mature. Maturity is the next level. Spiritual maturity. And it's a buzz kind of word. And everybody's like, oh yes, I want to be spiritually mature. I want to be growing in God. Hallelujah. It's a specific place. And there are specific actions that true spiritual leaders and people, maturity, true spiritual maturity in believers do. Certain actions that come out of them, certain words that come out of their mouth, because they've grown up into that maturity. They're beginning to be turned into something else other than what they think, but more probably what God thinks about them. I wrote that first book, and I didn't really know, it was just really a fun time for me, the heart of God, and I didn't really know about it. It's real spot where God wanted it until I began to teach on growing in grace. The ground of believers is the heart. Your heart has to be in the right place to receive the word of God in order for the seed of the word of God to take root and grow. There are certain things that will keep your heart from receiving that word. Your flesh, sin, it says the cares of life. Rocky places, thorny places in your heart will keep the seed of the word of God from being planted and grown up in you. So you have to have a heart that's right. The heart of David is a perfect place to start. How did David get the heart that God says, this man has a heart after me? That's what a desire that is, right? What a goal for all of us to be in the place where God wants. To have a heart like that. Well, growing in grace and growing in God requires your heart to be that place. Let's begin to cultivate the soul of our heart to receive God's word. When you study, when you pray, when you talk, when you go about your day, when you ask God to help you with certain things. God help me with this. This budget is hurting me, and I don't know how to organize things. God help me in this. I mean, he helps you in practical things. He helps you, he helps you across the board. But you got to ask him. I heard God doesn't do things without us asking. Yes, he does. That come out of somebody's heart. Don't even build a spirit. He does. He does a lot of things without asking. Sunshine, there's oxygen for us to breathe. There's beautiful days, there's rain. You know, we need that. There's some things he's like, but as a purposeful child of the Most High God, think of that. I am not just created just to be an itty bitty thing, an insect or an ant. On the earth. Some may see me like that. They may see me insignificant. They may see me as a person that can't do it or affect anything. But that's not how I should see myself. And that surely is not how God sees me. He sees me better than that. Amen. I'm not going to go to my introduction like I usually do as far as us growing in grace. I think we've heard that. I want to go and I want to get through at least these characteristics. Now, we talk about the child stage. children live in the kingdom of God. We went from the kingdom of God to walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, we have to contrast that with what was walking in the flesh. We talked about fleshly things. We talked about the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. Remember that? I did not intend to go through each one, but we did service on each fruit of the Spirit so that we can understand how to walk in the Spirit. That's what God wants us. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. I don't know if this seems kind of heavy, Kurt. I don't know if I can do that. I'm telling you, I didn't know if I could do it either. I was like, what is going on? We need to take our time, get on our knees, and pray to God. Father, help me understand this. You're going to see that understanding is a great big part of the child stage. Let me get over here. See if I can. See if I can get you some stuff. Maybe I can. Oh, there it is. Stop. So my app is getting dated. I got it when I retired in 2020. It's working. Sometimes it loses its place. And it thinks that I want to do something and I don't. So we're talking about child stage, we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about walking in the Spirit. Then we got a few other characteristics of a child stage, other behaviors of a child of God, coming from the Word of God. And we went through the children are obedient. You remember that? Children obey their parents. Children are humble. You remember that? Children behave like children. Those were the first four. So we're going to try to get through four today. And I told you that God woke me up this morning and he shared some stuff with me that I hadn't put in the book and I think I should put in the book. That's probably why it's taking this long for me to publish it. And for my editors to edit. And I read, as I read these next four characteristics, I said, oh man, I gotta put this thing in here. And he told me, he said, you need to do a service on, a teaching on DWIs. Anybody got any idea what that acronym stands for? About a year or so ago, my wife was working over at the nursing home in Roanoke. And these were, it was a Catholic nursing home. So they're supposedly, you thought, well, it's a Christian place, right? Or something that would honor God, or something like that. However, the people that she was dealing with, the nurses and administrators and executive offices and so forth, they were behaving strangely to her to be connected to a religious organization. Right, and so she was like, man, she was having to battle every day when she went in, and they were acting just really not Christian-like. How about I just say that to be politically correct? And so she was praying about it, and God told her, there are just a bunch of DWIs. And she said, what is that? I mean, I never heard of that. So she had to go and find out what DWI is. I'm going to tell you. And I know she's probably thinking, I thought you were going to lie. I said, I have to be obedient, right? DWIs. And they're deceitful workers of iniquity. DWI. She said the place was full. It's an interesting term, right? It's an interesting acronym. But it's very simple. The definition of it is you find deceitful workers in the Bible. Remember when Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, and I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So you have workers of iniquity. And then in Psalms, I think it's David, he said, these are evil workers. They're workers that work iniquity. Iniquity is evil. Right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about the false prophets. False apostles, and he says, these are deceitful workers. They do in some of the commentaries. I didn't expect to go this far. But so you get this idea, deceitful workers of iniquity. Why are they deceitful? They're deceitful because they wear a title that says Christian. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Oh yeah, I pray. And you're like, well, shouldn't you be like doing some of the stuff that's in the Word? Well, no, they're not. They're still holding to their flesh. So they're in sin. And so they're working iniquity. Iniquity, you say, what are they working for? Iniquity is evil. It's you can call it sin. You can call it lawlessness. But here's a definition for iniquity that I think you will enjoy. Iniquity is doing things that you are not authorized or given permission to do. This is how come it's also deceitful. You're doing something, it may seem right. It may seem right in the right order. It may seem like all things are going well for it. But you haven't been given the authority and the permission from who? From God. You've been absent from being on your knees and asking God, what is my purpose? And you stepped into a place that you haven't been given authority or permission to step in. God calls that witchcraft. Rebellion. So you've got this time. And I know you say, what are Christians doing? Christians are doing it. I'm going to teach on it. I'm going to come back and then we'll have a whole session on it for you. We'll go to the Word of God where it talks about that. Something that supports that. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Anybody remember that? I think it's Matthew 7. 10 virgins. And if you think about that, he said they were all preparing for the bride. Right? So all 10 of these virgins are who? Who are the virgins?
Christians.
They're Christians. They're people who are in the body of Christ, preparing for the bridegroom to come. Remember, they were preparing, they were tending their, some of them were tending their lamps and some were not. Bridegroom comes. It comes, bridegroom comes in, and 5 of them who have their lamps trimmed go in to the wedding supper of the Lamb. But the other 5, oh, we don't have enough. They go to the 5 that have enough. They give me some. They said, oh, we can't give, we just got enough for ourselves. Go to the people that are selling them all. So these get 5 go out and try to get some wine, some Holy Spirit, so that they can go into the marriage supper. What happens when they get the wine? They say, oh, we got it now. And they go to the bride. What does the bridegroom say to them? Depart from me, ye who work iniquity, I do not know you. That's a hard saying. You say, well, I don't think it's like that. I think the parable means something else. And go ahead, do what you want. I'm going to do my best to teach that. He said, why do you know that? Well, childlike behavior. The next 4 that we're going to do here. Children are inexperienced in the use of the Word of God. I'll give you the 4 and then I'll come back and explain. So children are inexperienced in the use of the Word of God. Children can be easily swayed to follow after wrong doctrines. You know that, right? Cast to and fro, whirlwind of doctrines. Children can do that. Children are disciplined. There's a good sign. They are disciplined. Sometimes we don't like the discipline. And then, of course, something that we should all know, characteristic of children, is that they grow. And then here with a child yet that doesn't grow in the neck. They grow. So here's a promise from God, and that's what's going to happen. So I got into the DWIs because I think that would help us to understand as a child of God where we stand in our behavior. So I've got about maybe 10 minutes. Now, I go through these real quick. And what I do is when I do the DWI teaching, I'll teach at least two of these again. Because we need to know false prophets, false apostles, sheep, the wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, the Bible tells us that the devil appears as an angel of light. And as children, that's one thing in our behaviors that we are cautioned about. We're cautioned about. And we need to know. Amen? Mm-hmm. So what are these? The DWIs, they seek for self. They're just self-aggrandizing. They're doing things for themselves. They're just concerned about what's going on in their life and doing for them. You know, one of the things that our governance in our country, you know, we're a capitalistic nation, so money is seen as very important. And people are like, we can't live without money. And, you know, so our focus on money is very keen in our society. But the Bible tells us that the root of all evil is what? Money. The love. The Bible says that the Word of God, God wants us to know that if you love money, it is the root of all evil. So if you've got any love for money in you, there's some things that need to be uprooted. Amen? And it's as simple as that. And so we need to caution ourselves as children of God to watch out for that root. Because our society is all around us. This nation is built on it. Capitalism. I'm not trying to I think it's a good thing. Let me just what's that? No, I think that is a rightful government system. Let's put it that way. But I don't think as Christians, you know, we should have limitless to love of money. They say that money was the root of it. The love of money is. We can make it an idol. We can cause it to rule our lives. And it will ruin our lives eventually if you let it. If you love it. So hear what I'm saying. I don't want to, you know, think that I'm trying to go somewhere else away from that. We've come a long way in that system. As you probably know. So here we go. Children are inexperienced in the use of the Word of God. And you focus on scripture verses that talk about children's behavior in the Word. We see that children are inexperienced in understanding some of the principles given in the Word. Continue, this is what you do. Continue to read and meditate on the Word daily. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow His instructions, and you will quickly gain what we need is understanding. Proverbs has over 50 verses, and you know it's got 31 chapters, passages that talk about understanding and its importance for the child of God. That Proverbs is full of anecdotes and words that we can grab a hold of to kind of give us an idea of how we can run our lives and how do we get understand. That's what we're missing. We don't understand. I don't understand how this book can do this. I don't understand that. Even my own children. I don't understand how they're going. The Bible says you can get understanding from the Holy Spirit and through reading His Word. Proverbs, in the beginning, the first chapter tells us, first chapter, Proverbs 1:1-6, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This is why he wrote the Proverbs. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. This is the purpose of Proverbs. And so you should go to Proverbs. If you need some understanding, I believe it will give you some understanding. Proverbs 2, verses 2 to 3, is so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yes, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Important for the child of God to understand. Gain understanding. I don't understand, you know, this, I don't understand that. And some of us, you know, we have to say that. And we just go on about our business and think that it's okay. But the non-understanding is there for a reason. God brought it up. It bubbled up, this misunderstanding or this not understanding, bubbled up inside of you so that you could ask God, God, give me some understanding about this. That's when the wisdom starts to flow. From God, through his word, he'll show you places where to read. Sometimes he'll take you other places. Maybe he'll take you to radio podcasts, or maybe he'll take you to other sermons or whatever. Maybe he'll take you to other men and women that you know. But he'll get some understanding to you if you ask him. And understanding is important for a child, because that understanding is going to help you to determine where the DWIs are. And if you are operating as a DWI, need understanding from God's word. But if you're not listening, it just goes away. The word of God has benefits for the believer who studies and uses them. Understanding comes from the word of God. Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 1 through 4. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. What a promise from God. I can just read the word. I was down, I wasn't up on top of a mountain. I wasn't feeling encouraged, I was feeling discouraged. I can't tell you what exactly, I can't put my finger on it. This has been years ago. And the Lord led me to Isaiah. He said, well, read the book of Isaiah. By the time I finished reading the book of Isaiah, I was back on the top of the mountain. How did you do that? I don't even know. But I tell you, because I'm thinking, that's the Old Testament. It's got a whole bunch of stuff in there I don't understand, right? But by the time I finished reading that book, I was so excited about God and what he was able to do. You know, I testified about that at the group that I was in. And they just kind of looked at me like, wow, what a testimony. What a testimony that you can turn yourself around by the word of God. God, where should I read this morning? What do I need in my spirit, man, to come up above where I am, what I'm thinking? Because what I'm thinking is pulling me down. I need to get above this thinking that I got. I need to get into the mind of Christ and begin to think like he thinks. And some of you say, well, brainwashing, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'd rather be brainwashed by God than the world. I'd rather think like him than think like anybody else. I just own up to it. They said, well, you're just crazy. Call me what you want. I'm just following what I know. You said, well, can you get off? Well, we all get off. This is the whole, I'm teaching you. We sometimes get in the wrong rut. And we take it on out until we hit a wall. And God said, okay, enough of that. This is what I want you to know. You and I can get ourselves out of it. Trying to think of your name. I know who you are. Louis. Gives a testimony about how God leads him into fastings sometimes. You know, we as a church, we fast once a year. That's 21 days. But sometimes God will lead you into a fast. Why? Fasting breaks the yoke of the enemy. You got something that's yanked on your head and you can't get out, go to fast. Father, I'm going to fast. I'm going to set this time aside and set this plate, whatever it is, to fast in the hole over here, and I'm going to get through this. Why? Because he said I've never been on a fast where I didn't get a breakthrough from God. Never. Can you imagine anything that I can say that about, that you've done this and nothing has hindered you in doing so? Not when I've done it correctly, right? Or done the thing that God wants me to do. You know, sometimes you can't do it the way you want. You gotta do it the way he wants. I want you to fast. I'm going to fast TV and Instagram, and I'm going to fast all these technology things. Because it's going to be easy. But maybe God said, I want you to fast maybe breakfast. Spend a little more time with me. Or maybe during your lunch break, why don't you come over here under this tree? Sup with me for lunch. Doesn't have to be 3 days. Doesn't have to be 10 days or 20 days. It could just be one time. God, y'all get this. It could be God. You're putting all the responsibility on him, not on yourself, on God to respond and come through. Okay, I went a little too far. So, we'll jump on that one next time. I talked about children can be easily swayed to follow after the wrong doctrines, and we know that from Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children. Don't be more children, tossed to and fro. Children are tossed to and fro, carried out with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We, as Christians, can be drawn away on other things through our flesh. I'll say it more specifically. Through our lust for other things. We all have. And if we don't get them in the right place where they need to be, they will draw us off. Somebody will say something, oh yeah, let me go on over here. And God is like, where you going? I didn't tell you to go over there. I didn't tell you to go listen to that podcast. I didn't tell you to go read that. Put that book down. But God is a good book. It talks about angels and, you know, demons. And, it's always good. That led you in that direction. What's up? We can be drawn away. He said, don't be. This is why you need the understanding from him to go his way. You know, it is never boring. It is never boring. Can you say that about things in your life? It is never boring to follow after the thing that God wants you to do. It's so exciting. When he woke me up this morning, I was so upset. I didn't have time to get it all in. So he said, don't worry. I don't want you to tell them all today. But I do want you to prepare a service for them where we can understand how not to be led astray. How not to let the ticklings of the enemy, you know, the whisperings of things that are going out in that are in the world. They're in the world. They are designed to pull you out there, to pull you away from God, to pull you away from your time spent with him. They are designed to do that. And we need to get Get some understanding. Understand that, man, that's what they're designed to do. And some of us just take it. We take the bait, hook, line, and sinker. You know, we're out there, and we're arguing, and we're debating, and we're doing all kinds of fancy stuff. And, you know, and then for long we realize that, well, how did I get way out here? How did I get? I got out here because the end threw in that line, that worm, whatever it is on the end of it, that nugget. It's real going on out there. Here you are sitting out there, you know, wallowing, like, what am I doing out here? I need to get back into the Word of God because He's going to keep me sure and on point and in the place where I know that I need to be and cause me to grow. That's the place where He wants us. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for blessing us today. You are a great God. We honor You because of all that we've done. We thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You for giving us Your ability, Your grace, Your favor. We thank You, Father, for advancing us into Your kingdom, Father God, for moving us forward, Father God, upward and forward in You. We thank You, Lord God. We truly desire to understand You and all that You, Father, given and prepared for us and made right for us. We thank You, Lord God. We are not shut out of responsibility. We will not look to the left or the right, but we will, Father God, stare straight on, Lord God. Our heart will be, Father, set like a bulwark, Father God, ahead of us on a target to, Father God, receive from You, receive from Your Spirit. We thank You now that it is nothing in our life, Father. We want more than You. We want, Father God, all that You have for us. Prepare it ahead of time. Take Your Spirit, Father God, and help us, guide us, lead us, teach us, Holy Spirit. Every day, every minute, every second, cause our hearts and minds focus on You, Father God, and cause us to recognize the enemy of our souls, the one, Father, who desires to sift us like wheat, the one, Father God, who wants to take away the anointing and the power that You've established in us. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us today, soon in our heart, grow us in Your way. Help us, Father God, to understand these things. Give us the time. The time spent away, Father God, in our quiet rooms, in our offices, in our cars, on the road, wherever we are. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Come alive in us. Bring forth Your mighty power. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. I've been instructed to ask you if you have any prayer requests that you need prayer for. If you don't, that's fine. I mean, if you want to come and grab me and do it at the end of service, that would be all right as well.
Could you pray over the fellowship or any other prayers of whatever needs may be, like that as well, too, please? Over the fellowship.
Yeah, oh yes. Any other prayer requests? Father, thank You for blessing us today. We thank You, Lord God, that You have gathered us here. And Father, we receive from Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, that those words are solid in our hearts. Bless us as we go, Father God, to our homes, as we leave this building, Father God, and enter into the place that You desire us to go. Bless the food, Father, that's been prepared. Bless the hands that prepared it, Lord God, and the people, Father God, that gathering, Lord God, and serving. We ask, Father God, Your blessings, and that it be nourishment, strength, and health for our bodies. As we receive it in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.